So I don't know about you, but I find the doing of evangelism hard. It doesn't come naturally to me. In fact, as recently as today, Becca had me witnessing to teenagers, and you know, I came ready for the task and still found it hard to do. But over the years, I have challenged myself to witness my faith to others because I believe it's a core part of being a Christian. Just like praying or Bible reading or anything else we do as Christians, witnessing our faith, I think, is core to being a Christian. Not everyone is an evangelist, but every believer is called to witness the good news that Jesus is Lord and Saviour of our lives. On the other hand, my wife, Heather, who some of you know, is an evangelist, and she talks to everyone about the gospel. In fact, she's about to board a plane. She's in the UK at the moment, and she'll be home tomorrow night. And no doubt, between now and when she comes home, she will speak to some people about the gospel. When I get on an aeroplane, I put on my headphones and hope and pray that I don't have to have a conversation with anyone. But Heather's the opposite. She talks to everyone. In fact, earlier this year, Mary had had a little accident and had to go to emergency at the hospital. She's fine now. And, you know, we had to wait 6 hours in emergency. And luckily, it was not super serious that we had to kind of, that you know, it was really bad. But while we were in emergency, Heather talked to everybody. And she was telling them what she does and who she is and blah, blah. And in fact, one lady was in a lot of pain and Heather prayed for her as part of that time that she was there. When Heather was pregnant with Mary, she had to fly from Melbourne to China. And it wasn't a particularly good flight and she was in a particularly sicky part of her pregnancy and she felt very unwell all the way. And this was one of the few occasions where she didn't feel like talking to anybody. But the man next to her was keen to chat and eventually she took her headphones out and began to give him like a minimal kind of, you know, kind of respectful amount of attention. And the conversation turned to what Heather does for a living, and she told him that she was a priest working in a church, and he asked, "What's church?" So she told him. She then put her headphones back in and returned to feeling unwell, and a few minutes later, the man got her attention again, having sat quietly for a bit, and he said to her, "Maybe I would like to become a Christian." You see, for Heather, it seems as though God just brings people to her, whereas for the rest of us, it's perhaps not that easy. But today's sermon is entitled Embracing Every Opportunity. That's what Heather does on a plane, but that's what each of us is called to do, especially when God puts people in our paths. If you don't consider yourself an evangelist, you don't necessarily have to go looking for it, but when God places someone in your path who is keen to hear the good news, it's part of our baptism call to embrace the opportunity and to share the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, last week, Liz took you through the first section of chapter 4, where we encounter a Samaritan woman going to fetch water in the middle of a hot day. Jesus breaks almost every social convention imaginable to engage her in a conversation. And the conversation shows us a lot about how gospel conversations can happen. Do you notice in the encounter how Jesus begins by engaging the woman in a conversation about water? Initially, they're just talking about water, the stuff in the well. But as the conversation progresses, Jesus moves the conversation to spiritual things. He begins speaking about the water that he will give. Now he's no longer talking just about the stuff in the well, but he's talking about something more. The talk about water that quenches one's ultimate thirst piques the woman's interest, and so Jesus engages her more deeply. And eventually to a moment of inviting her to a place of trust in him. Now, what we see happen next is a transformation in her whole disposition. Our passage today begins with the woman, initially reluctant, now leaving her water jar and everything else and running back to the town to herself now give witness to the good news that she had encountered. Each one of us, if we've made a decision to follow Jesus, are this woman. We have encountered Jesus, and the overwhelming joy should be to dispense with convention and run to tell everyone we know that it's safe and effective to place all our hope in Jesus. And I want you to notice that this very well-known story about this woman transformed a whole town. If you look at verse 39, which will come up on the screen, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So how can we embrace every opportunity? How can we leverage our own context, our own networks, our own situation to walk in our baptismal calling of sharing in the hope that we have? Well, let me suggest three ways that I see in John chapter 4. And these three things are intentional prayer, starting conversations, and being prepared to be just one piece in the puzzle. Intentional prayer, starting conversations, and being prepared to be just one piece in the puzzle. Firstly, prayer. It's not an exaggeration to say that prayer is the most important part of evangelism. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit convicts hearts. In his grace and benevolence, God involves us in the process of leading people to faith. But he's the one who calls. He's the one who convicts. He ultimately creates the longing in a person's heart. And there comes a time when we need to simply get out of the way and let the Spirit do his work. But prayer is key. How so? Well, prayer is something that we all can do, isn't it? You might say, I don't know, like all my friends are here. They're already Christians. You know, I don't know many non-Christians. Or you might say, you know, like life's really full on at the moment. I don't have the energy or capacity to talk to people. Or you might say, I don't know how. I don't, you know, like it's hard. And any of these things may be true, but all of us can be and should be praying. My friend Julianne, who is one of the most effective evangelists that I know, worked for many years at Melbourne University, and she trained students up to have gospel conversations and to be prepared to respond to their questions about life and faith. But a key part of what they did, that group, is that every week on a Wednesday afternoon, I think it was, they gathered in groups of two or three and specifically prayed for other students and loved ones, people in their lives that they wanted to see come to faith. And that was the pattern, as well as all the training, as well as how to have the conversation, as well as what to say, all that stuff. A core practice was praying. And the point is somewhat implicit in today's reading. But take note of verse 32 when Jesus says to his disciples, you know, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What this suggests, and we know it to be true from other passages, is that Jesus is in constant prayerful dialogue with the Father. And we need to be too. Whether we are sharing our faith with others or praying for people who will be sharing their faith with others, prayer is an absolutely fundamental part of the process that can't be dispensed with. In conversation, in communication with the Holy Spirit, we can be strengthened in our resolve about sharing with someone, given boldness to have a conversation or even be convicted that the timing either is right or isn't right at this time. But most importantly, something that every one of us can do right now, if we're not doing it already, is to, you know, write down the names of five non-Christian friends or extended family members or whoever it might be, who we would like to see come to saving faith in Jesus, and commit to praying through that list every day. I have a friend, an older friend, and she had a husband who was quite a bit older than her, and he passed away recently. And he was someone who, she came to faith during the course of their marriage, and he hadn't. So she was married to him probably 50 years with him not being a Christian. And in the final years, he made a decision for Christ and came to faith. And when he died, she just felt so much peace that she knew where he was going, you know. But any time in that long marriage, she could have said, maybe I've prayed enough now, you know. And actually praying for people is so important from that perspective. So that's the first thing, intentional prayer for the people we want to see come to saving faith in Jesus. The second thing is we're called to start conversations. Earlier this year, the St. Hill staff team, as we do most years, went on a staff retreat. And my room had a bookshelf with a few random books on it, very random books. And one of them was called How to Start a Conversation with Anyone, or something to that effect. I didn't have time to read it, but it made me think about how scared we can be sometimes, and I include myself in this, just to get to know people. Perhaps that's not an issue for you, perhaps it is. As we've already noted, Jesus crossed multiple cultural boundaries to talk to the woman at the well, and we see him doing this in other places as well. Once they got past the initial awkwardness of a Jewish man speaking to a foreign woman at a well without anyone else around, Jesus engages her, initially about water, then about spiritual things, and then about her own life. Generally, you will find that people like talking about themselves, their work, their family, their hobbies. After all, they are an expert in these things. You're not. But listening is a huge part of the conversation. That's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. Listening is doubly important. And once you've listened to the other person speak, you can find points of connection. You can share about your own work, your own family, your own hobbies. This kind of conversation is disarming and relaxing. So much of the work of witnessing and evangelizing is making connections and befriending people. The God we worship is the God of love. That's his name. That's his character. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. When we show others love through our heartfelt interest and conversation, they start to experience God even before we say anything about him. We may not even say much about faith in that first conversation, but as we engage over a period of time, the other person starts to give us permission to talk about things that are important to us. Our faith is a key feature in the things that are important to us. And speaking about our own story of trusting in Jesus, about how Jesus has recently been at work in our lives, is a great place to start. We can speak confidently and authoritatively about our own story. People can refute Christianity. People can say, well, I don't believe what you, that's good for you. I don't believe that. Or this book doesn't mean anything to me. But when you start talking about what God's done in your life, your own story, that's harder to refute because this is my experience. And that leads to the final point, which is be prepared to be just one piece of the puzzle. Now, what do I mean by that? When you're sharing your faith with someone, you know, whether you do this in one conversation or over the course of many days or weeks or months, in some cases, maybe even years, we often mistakenly think that we've got to do it all and that people are in one of two stages. They either know Jesus or they don't know Jesus. They're either saved or they're unsaved. And in one sense, that's true. But from a witnessing conversation perspective, people may be moving more than you think. I really like this tool developed by a man named James F. Engel. He proposed that most people start at minus 10 on a scale. Now, you might not be able to read that. I'll post it in the Facebook group. But the words aren't as important as the principle, right? What's there? This is the principle. He said that people start at minus 10, right? Minus 10 being no God framework. Then they might move to minus 9, minus 8, minus 7, and so forth, until they get to 0, which is faith in Jesus. And then there are still more steps to being kind of like a disciple. Now, what's written at every stage is not as important as the fact that there are stages themselves. That idea that basically people start at minus 10. So you might have an amazing gospel conversation with someone and think, God, did that get anywhere? But they've moved from minus 10 to minus 8, you know? And so the next person comes along and has a conversation with them and helps them move a little bit more. But they're going to have more gospel encounters before they even come close to putting their trust in Jesus. And what we know statistically, in data and anecdotally, is that in contemporary Australian society, non-Christians need multiple positive encounters with Christianity in order to consider faith in their own lives. And so it's really important to think that, because it can feel like you're not getting anywhere, whereas actually you might be making more headway than you think. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth and acknowledging the important work of other gospel workers, wrote this, and I think it reflects this idea of the Engel scale. He says, "What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each a task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." So you have the puzzle analogy, you have the gardening analogy, you know? And so we're playing our part, we're doing our thing. And this sentiment is echoed in today's passage in verses 36 and 37, where it says, "Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true." And so as we return to the question of how do we embrace every opportunity, let's just be reminded today of these things. The most important thing that we can be doing is to be intentionally prayerful about the people in our lives that we want to see know Jesus. Make a list and pray for them every day. If you do nothing else, do that. Prayer is powerful. God's at work. He may send you to talk to them. He may send someone else, but pray for them. Number two is make conversations. Make friends. I think as we get older, that feels harder. But, you know, be open to new friendships, because that's where you actually have meaningful conversations with people. Not as projects. We're not making, you know, people aren't our projects. But when there's genuine, authentic friendship with people, there's a real openness to being able to talk about what's important to me. Find out what's important to them. Do a lot of listening. Use that as a basis for engagement. When it's appropriate, not when it's artificial, move things into a spiritual conversation. There's no need to rush it, but you also don't need to wait forever. You know, some people are very, like, the first time I meet someone, I've got to have a Jesus conversation with them. But some people are the opposite. They can be friends with someone for 20 years and never have a Jesus conversation with them. You know, like, at some point, you want to do it. And then thirdly, think of yourself as one piece of the puzzle or one part of the gardening process. Sometimes your job is just to water. Sometimes it's to scatter or plant seeds, and sometimes it's to harvest. Remember that if we use as a model the Engel scale, there are 15 stages, and 10 of them are before coming to faith. This may seem discouraging, but it actually should be encouraging, because even when it feels like nothing is happening, something most likely is. So I hope that this series and today's message assists us in being a little bolder, bolder in prayer, bolder in our conversations, and bolder in engaging people with the good news of Jesus. Remember that if we lean into the Holy Spirit in prayer, He will guide every aspect of every encounter, so why not embrace the opportunities that are in front of you? Let me pray.